Imagine waking up each morning in a society that champions freedom, only to spend your day under what amounts to a dictatorship. This isn't dystopian fiction. It's the reality for millions of American workers. Elizabeth Anderson's Private Government exposes a profound contradiction at the heart of modern capitalism. While we celebrate democracy in public life, we accept authoritarian control in our workplaces without question. What makes this paradox especially fascinating is its historical roots. The free market ideology that now justifies workplace authoritarianism actually began as a radical egalitarian movement meant to liberate ordinary people from feudal hierarchies. How did a philosophy of freedom transform into a justification for workplace dictatorships? And why do we still pretend that employees and employers meet as equals in the marketplace? Free market thinking originally aligned with radical politics opposing hierarchies across economic, political, religious, and social domains. During the English Civil War, the Levellers challenged power structures, with John Lilburn declaring all humans equal and alike in power, dignity, authority, while women like Catherine Shidley demanded equal freedoms. Adam Smith envisioned markets as liberating forces, creating an egalitarian society of small enterprises and independent artisans. He believed large corporations would generally fail without state protection. Thomas Paine advocated free markets alongside comprehensive social insurance, not as charity, but as a universal right based on shared natural resources. What these early market thinkers couldn't foresee was how the Industrial Revolution would shatter their egalitarian dream. Economies of scale overwhelmed small proprietors, creating a permanent class of wage laborers with diminished hopes of independence. Pre-industrial workshops had hierarchies, but their impact was softened when masters worked alongside journeymen doing identical labor. This naturally improved conditions. No one creates an uncomfortable environment for themselves. Work pace was relaxed, alcohol was common, and skilled journeymen could expect to establish their own shops after a few years. The Industrial Revolution destroyed this arrangement. Employers no longer performed the same work as employees, if they worked at all. Mental labor separated from increasingly de-skilled manual labor, with executives often working in different buildings. This separation enabled severe degradation of working conditions. Workers faced relentless machine discipline, harsh environments, long hours, low wages, and minimal advancement opportunities. A contradiction emerged in the new liberal order. While advocating freedom in politics and markets, the same thinkers demanded subordination in factories. Pre-industrial labor radicals called this wage slavery, while liberals called it free labor. The difference wasn't factual, but perspectival. Liberals focused only on entering and exiting labor contracts, while radicals focused on conditions within them. Anderson provocatively argues that modern workplaces function as systems of arbitrary private government, essentially operating as dictatorships. Employers can legally control your schedule, monitor communications, search belongings, regulate speech and appearance, and even dictate aspects of your off-duty life, including political activities and relationships. In the typical workplace hierarchy, everyone answers to a superior they must obey. There is no rule of law. Orders can change arbitrarily without appeal, and superiors remain unaccountable to subordinates. The highest-ranked person issues many orders but takes none, while the lowest-ranked have their movements and speech minutely regulated. The workplace may dictate dress codes, hairstyles, and language, with surveillance ensuring compliance. The economic structure resembles communism. The employer owns all non-labor means of production and organizes work through central planning. Though it cannot imprison people, it can terminate their livelihood. This isn't North Korea. It's the standard American workplace under employment at will doctrine, where workers, in effect, cede all of their rights to their employers except those specifically guaranteed by law. Why don't we recognize this contradiction? Anderson identifies a political hemiagnosia, an inability to perceive half of economic reality, Economists like Alchian and Demsetz claim employers have no power of fiat, equating firing an employee with changing grocers. This comparison ignores the vast power differential between employer and employee. The error persists because pre-industrial revolution hopes for market society continue to be applied in our post-revolution world. Early theorists envisioned independent artisans engaging in voluntary exchange, a vision rendered obsolete when industrial capitalism created vast corporations employing thousands of wage laborers. Yet the theoretical framework never adapted. 19th-century liberals reconciled their contradictions by focusing solely on market entry and exit while ignoring factory conditions. This selective vision celebrated freedom of contract while overlooking the oppressive conditions resulting from those contracts. Modern economics largely inherited this tradition of strategic blindness. For state governance, we have democratic traditions. For employer governance, Anderson identifies four strategies to protect workers' liberties: exit, rule of law, constitutional rights, and voice. Exit rights supposedly protect workers by forcing employers to compete for talent, yet libertarians paradoxically support non-compete clauses that restrict worker mobility. These clauses now affect even low-skill positions like sandwich makers. California's prohibition of non-competes and Silicon Valley's success proves they're unnecessary. Rule of law protections face challenges in workplaces where efficiency requires centralized authority. Still, larger organizations like IBM and Microsoft have implemented internal appeal systems, providing fair hearings while maintaining efficiency. Constitutional workplace rights exist through labor standards, anti-discrimination laws, and safety regulations. However, these provide minimal protection and remain under-enforced. Wage theft affects millions annually, with low-wage workers losing an estimated $50 billion yearly. Voice remains essential for genuine workplace freedom. While workplace democracy faces practical challenges, workers overwhelmingly desire more say in their conditions. Germany's co-determination system, requiring worker representation on corporate boards, offers a successful model that maintains high productivity while providing workers greater job security and voice. Anderson doesn't reject workplace hierarchy entirely, recognizing its coordination role. She objects to private government arbitrary, unaccountable authority where workers lack voice. The 1973 Skylab astronaut strike illustrates this distinction. When NASA micromanaged their schedule, astronauts shut off communications and took a day off. NASA then agreed to provide a daily task list without dictating how to complete it. The result? All projects were completed successfully, often ahead of schedule, proving autonomy produces better outcomes than rigid control. Autonomy isn't merely pleasant, but a basic human need, fundamental to well-being and productivity. No production process inherently eliminates all autonomy. Such elimination is a social design choice, not a natural constraint. Market society promised freedom and equality, yet for most workers, that promise remains unfulfilled. If we truly value freedom, it doesn't end when we clock in. Real freedom requires dignity, voice, and standing within the workplace itself. A truly free workplace wouldn't abolish hierarchy, but would make authority accountable to those it governs. It would provide due process against arbitrary decisions and recognize workers as full human beings with rights to privacy, autonomy, and respect, not just productive inputs. European co-determination models demonstrate that worker voice is compatible with prosperity. Workers can participate in governance while businesses remain productive and profitable. In a world where we spend most waking hours at work, ensuring those hours are spent in freedom rather than subjugation is paramount. Workplace dictatorship isn't inevitable. It's a choice we can change.